Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Romans, chapter 15. Romans, the 15th chapter, in your Scofield Bible, page 1209. And we'll be reading verses 19 through 24. These six verses, please, taking note of the 24th verse, the text verse for tonight's message. And we'll read the verses responsively. Once again, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Eleutherium I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. For which cause also I have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, having no more place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come unto you, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company. Let us pray. Father, what a joy it is to have this place, to be able to meet here freely. Thank you for Sunday evening services. Thank you for this very night, for that which is in store for us, for that which we've already enjoyed in this service. We're blessed with thy power and thy spirit, thy presence in such a special way that each of us will have realized the purpose of our being here. And so bless each and every listener. Help us to hear the preacher and bless him, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Grateful for that. And one smart word more, and I'll bring as long a message as usual. But I want to talk tonight on the subject, how to get to Spain from here. First thing you do is go out to O'Hare Field. You can get you a plane. You can fly. But I want to talk to you on that text. Found in Romans 15:24, Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain. How to get to Spain from here is the title of our message. Now, Holy Spirit, control this preacher. I don't have what to offer that I wish I had, but I give you all I have. And I pray you'd take what I offer tonight and use it to be a blessing and encouragement. And yes, even a life-changing moment for many, in Jesus' name. Amen. What a dream. Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. Now, why did Paul want to go to Spain? Paul wanted to go to Spain because you'd have to understand that Spain was what the people thought in those days was the end of the world. They thought that Spain was the last place in the entire world. So when Paul said, I want to go to Spain, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, Paul was planning to cover what he thought was the entire world. There are those who think that Tarshish in the Bible was Spain. I rather think it was England, but most Bible students think it was Spain. And regardless of which it was, Tarshish was known by, or was called by people in Bible days as the end of the world. Now, I don't mean chronologically now, I mean geographically, that when you'd been to Spain, you'd been all the way to the end of the world. And Paul was simply saying, When I take the gospel to the whole world. Paul knew about Europe, and he knew about Asia, and Paul wanted to go to Asia and on to Europe, and he wanted to go all the way to Spain. And that's a wonderful dream that the Apostle Paul had. Because Spain was the edge of the then known world, and the Apostle Paul wanted to preach the gospel to all of the entire world. Thank God for dreamers. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. I remember one year, Dr. Evans, I preached in college on he that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Boy, we got all excited there in that chapel of the old in the Baptist City place, and I remember I said, okay, now then, what's your dream? And old Louis Olivari stood up and he said, bless God. He said, I'm going to pastor a church that runs 100,000 in Sunday school. And I thought, boy, now that is a dream. But I'd rather shoot for it and miss it than not shoot for it at all. And everybody's heard the story about the little boy that's shooting his BB gun up in the air rifle. Fella came by and said, what you shooting at? He said, I'm shooting at the moon. Fella said, you stupid fool, you can't hit the moon with the BB gun. No, he said, I can't, but I'm coming closer to it than you are. And so thank God for folks that have a dream. And so Paul had a dream. Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, he said, I am going to get the gospel, and I'm going to preach it to the entire known world. And that was his dream, and that was his hope. Thank God for dreamers. In Genesis 37:19, they said about Joseph, behold, this dreamer cometh. And in Psalm 126:6, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. And then in Jeremiah 23:28, he that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. Now the truth is, everybody ought to have dreams. Everybody ought to have goals to shoot for and plans for great things in the future. I'm not opposed. I'm for dreams. I will not go into it because I've told you about it. But years ago, when I was just a kid, God called me to preach on December 31st, 1944. On January 1st, 1945, I went down to the corner where my dad called me, and my dad did not live with us, and I used to meet him in drugstores and around the corner. You know how you do, you folks that have moms and dads that are separated. And so Dad called me, and he said, son, I want you to meet me down at the corner of Commerce and Ackard Street in Dallas, downtown Dallas. So I got on the streetcar, on the Trinity High streetcar, and rode downtown Dallas, and got off at the corner of Ackard Street and Commerce Street. Now, that's the place where the Baker Hotel was. They just destroyed the old hotel recently, but for a new building. But on one corner, Baker Hotel. The other corner was a bank. The corner over here was the Adolphus Hotel, the second largest hotel in town. And then on this corner over here, the southwest corner, was a tavern and a bad house of ill repute. So Dad told me to meet him in front of that tavern, a red brick building. And so I was there, and Dad came, and I had surrendered that night before to preach the gospel. And Dad hated preachers. Nobody ever hated any group of men as much as my daddy hated preachers. I mean, he hated preachers with a passion, and he didn't want to be around one. He didn't like them. He just, every time he heard a preacher, he cursed a blue streak. He hated preachers. And so that day, the place was crowded because the Cotton Bowl football game was being played on January the 1st, and the football teams were always housed in those two hotels, the Adolphus and the Baker. Adolphus here, Baker over here, and I was over here to meet my dad. And it was one of the busiest times of the entire year, downtown Dallas. And so I said to my daddy, Daddy, I guess I better tell you now, last night, God called me to preach, and I surrendered my life to be a preacher. My daddy was a big man, weighed 235 pounds, strongest man I ever met with my daddy. And I guess except one, that's Dave's daddy. But my daddy, a great big fella, I mean the strongest man I ever met in my life. He took his big old hand when he heard that I said I was going to be a preacher, and Dad was drunk. He took his hand, and he pushed me against the building, and he held me against the building until I became so weak I could not hold myself up. But he held me against the building and pushed me against the brick. And so then he let me go, and I fell to the concrete there. And Dad kicked me, didn't kick me hard. I didn't bruise anything, but he did kick me sort of like that, sort of stirred me with his foot, I guess you'd say. And he started to curse. And he said, my boy, being a preacher, he said, I'd rather see my boy be anything than a preacher. He said, dirty son of a blank preacher, dirty blankety blank preacher. I'd rather see you dead than see you be a preacher. And he turned to walk away. He got about halfway across Ackard Street, a great crowd, several hundred folks that assembled. And he turned, he walked back, and he came back and kicked me, not hard, didn't break anything, but it didn't feel good either. And he kicked me again. And he began to curse me, and he said, my boy, a dirty son of a blank preacher, I'd rather see you dead than be a blankety blank son of a blank preacher. And he turned and walked away again. He got halfway across the street again, and he turned back. He came back, and he kicked me again, and so hundreds of folks could hear. He said, a dirty son of a blank preacher. And then he said, as he walked away, he turned and said, Well, if you've got to be a preacher, why don't you go out and build the biggest church in the world? I never told anybody that. I never told anybody that. I never did. Nobody ever heard me say it. Never passed through these lips. About 8 or 9 years ago, Dr. Elmer Towns came to our church and gave me a plaque as being pastor of the largest Sunday school in the world. And after I got the plaque, I fled to my office hurriedly and fell on my face. And I began to weep. And I said, Daddy, wherever you are, I did what you told me to. I did what you told me to. All those years, I'd carried a dream. I didn't want to pastor a big church. I just want to make my daddy proud of me, that's all. And I had a dream all those many years. I had a dream. And I want to say that thank God for Paul. Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, what was he saying? He was saying, I want to get the gospel to the whole world. I've got a dream. I've got a goal. And that's wonderful. Now then, all of us have had our dreams. And most of us, if not all of us, will die with some of our dreams unfulfilled. Paul wanted to go to Spain. Paul never went to Spain. Paul went to Rome. He was going to go to Rome, then Spain. He wrote the Roman people and said, when I take my journey to Spain, I'll come to see you. He went to Rome, and there he was incarcerated, put in prison, and there he died at the sharpened guillotine, and he never saw Spain. He had a dream to see Spain. He had a plan to see Spain, but Paul died with his dream unfulfilled. And most of us have the same thing. Woodrow Wilson wanted to see a united country. A united world. He wanted to see the nations of our world united. And so he started what he called the League of Nations. But it was not working. He saw it was not best. But he never gave up the fact that all the nations of this world would someday get together in peace. He died. He never saw his dream fulfilled. And by the way, nobody's ever going to see that dream fulfilled until the Prince of Peace comes back and establishes his kingdom on earth. Mahatma Gandhi longed to see unity in India. That's what he gave his life for. Now, I have little use for his religion, but I do have admiration for many things about Mahatma Gandhi, who said one time, I would have become a Christian if it hadn't been for Christians. But Mahatma Gandhi had a dream. His dream was to see India divided. His heart was broken united. His heart was broken when India was divided in the war from which came Pakistan, and India was divided in two. He had a dream. He never lived to see his dream. Moses had a dream. Moses had a dream to see the Promised Land. He led the Israelites to crawl out of bondage and out of Egypt and across the Red Sea and across the wilderness and came to the door of the Promised Land. But Moses got mad, smote the rock twice, and numbered the people for war when he shouldn't have done it. And what happened? Moses never got to fulfill his dream. He got to see the Promised Land from Mount Nebo, but he never entered into the Promised Land. He died without ever having his dream fulfilled. And the apostle, by the way, most of us, many, many of you have had dreams, and you'll die with those dreams unfulfilled. The apostle Paul instead of seeing Spain, he didn't see it. But he sits in a dungeon. His body is beaten. His feet are chained. His spirit is tired. His dream is shattered. His health is ruined. His hopes are smashed as he sits in the Mamertine prison, as I described the other night. Now, in that dungeon of a prison with no light and no, maybe the light of a candle or so, but no heat and the damp prison awaiting the time of his departure when the sharpened sword of the guillotine would sever his head from his body and Paul would have seen his dream unfulfilled. And so Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain, he said, I want to preach the gospel to the entire known world. I want to cover the world with the gospel. And that little old bug-eyed Jew almost did it, by the way. Man, he rimmed the Mediterranean Sea with the gospel of Christ, and he didn't have any pulpit committee come and check with him, Brother Dave. He didn't have to look for a house like you're going to do. He looked for a jail. Why don't you go down to Garland, see if they got a cell in the jail there? That's what Paul did. Leave Paula there, then go get you a nice apartment and live in it. But I'm saying that here's an old Jew. They persecuted him. He said, I rejoice in persecution. They will kill you. He said, good. Me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What you going to do with a nut like that? And about Paul and his people, when he went to a certain place, they said, they that turn the world upside down have come hither also. Paul went to one place, and they kicked him out. So he went to the other place, and they kicked him out. So he went to the other place, and they kicked him out. After being kicked out of all three places, he turned back to all three again, started churches, and got the job done for God. One time the Apostle Paul was hated, and the Pharisees said, we're going to kill you. And the Sadducees said, we're going to kill you too. And the first time the Pharisees and Sadducees ever agreed on anything was to kill Paul. And so there you got the Pharisees and Sadducees saying, let's kill him. And Paul knew there was a difference, and so Paul knew the Pharisees believed in the resurrection from the dead, and the Sadducees didn't. Paul just shouted, I believe in the resurrection of the dead. And the Pharisees said, amen, so do we. And the Sadducees said, shut up. And the Pharisees and the Sadducees got in a fight, and Paul snuck out the side door, went somewhere else and played havoc there for a while. And little guy rimmed the known world with the gospel of Christ, but he longed to go to Spain. He said, whosoever, I take my journey into Spain. And there he sits. His dreams are shattered. He wants to. Now, by the way, several things he could have done. He could have gotten bitter and resentful. He could have said, God's not good to me. Don't you ever say that. Don't you ever say that. Don't you ever say that. Good night, anything short of eternity in the fires of hell. God's been mighty good to you, I'll guarantee you for sure. Don't you ever say it. I'm sort of tired. People come into Hammond sometimes, and they're a young college student. Don't get a job the first month they're here. And don't get to eat ham sandwiches for lunch and bacon and eggs for breakfast. And well, God's just not good to me. God's good to you when God saved your soul from hell. God was good to you. Don't you say God's to Paul could have said, yeah, I wanted to go to Spain, but didn't get to go. And here I rot in this dumb jail here. And if God loved me, I'd get to go to Spain. No, Paul didn't do that. Paul could have if he'd wanted to. I remember that day. I sat that day, that night, on a Thursday night soul-winning visitation in a little home north side of Marshall, Texas, when I was, 22, 23 years of age. A little couple named Barry. And there was a man and his wife who were not saved. And they'd both come to church the Sunday before. And I'd gone to see him. And I said, don't you want to be saved, Mrs. Barry? And she said, I hate God. And I said, well, Mrs. Barry, you shouldn't say that. And she said, I hate him. And so she said, I said, why? She said, God took my baby. Well, I'll tell you what. If you live in a home, if the baby's born in a home like that, God's mighty good to take your baby and let that baby get out of your sorry home and go on to heaven with Jesus rather than living down there in an ungodly house. And he took my baby. I hate God. I wouldn't trust a God like that. He took my baby. And I tried to win him. I couldn't win him. We went to Dallas for a few days, and I came back and picked up the Marshall News Messenger paper, and there was a headline. A lady murders husband. Mr. Berry had gotten on his knees, was begging his wife for mercy, and she'd shot him down like this through the head and down through his neck in cold-blooded murder. Then she got in a car and tried to escape and was driving 80 miles an hour. Back in those days, that's a lot of miles an hour, and 80 miles an hour. Down Highway 43, and her car left the road and hit a tree, and she was dead on arrival at Camp Memorial Hospital in Marshall, Texas. And I thought about that couple. She said, God's not good. Oh, yes, God is good. Oh, yes, God is good. And the very bad that you think is coming to your life, God means it for good, and God will bring good about. You just trust Him. All things work together for good to those who love God, those that are called according to His purpose. And Paul wrote that. And so Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. And there he sits in the Mamertine prison. He could have gotten bitter. He could have given up and just done nothing. He could have said, okay, here I am. I can't preach. I can't pastor my church. I can't do anything. He could have said, I'll just give it up. No, Paul didn't give it up. Paul said, I'll do what I can. I can write a letter. And I can write. I'll do what I can. And if your dreams are shattered, then do what you can. If you had some dreams in life, maybe, for a little baby, and you longed for a little baby, and God never did give you a child, don't become bitter against God. And if you never mother a baby, and if your breast never is used for succoring a baby, don't you get bitter against God. Don't do it. And just do what you can. I mean, just do what you can. and use the circumstances that you have in life and use it the best you can for God. And so here's the apostle. He wanted to go to Spain. His dream was to go to Spain. His plan was to go to Spain. His hopes were to go to Spain. He said, I'm going to come to see you when I go to Spain. And there he sits rotting in the Mamertine prison. He didn't blame God. He didn't just give up. And by the way, he didn't become fatalistic either. Well, what is to be will be, and I don't know, as one lady used to say in Texas, I don't know and I don't care. All I want's my rocking chair. He could have done that. Paul didn't do it. Paul said, what have I got? A pulpit? Nope, I can't preach. What do I have? A teaching desk? Nope, I can't teach. What do I have? A boat? Nope, I can't go to another country by boat. What do I have? Freedom? Nope, I can't travel back to Berea or Thessalonica Pamphylia. I can't go back to Perga. I can't go back to Iconium. I can't go back to Antioch and Pisidia. I can't do that. Paul said, I cannot go back to Corinth. But Paul, so I can't do that. Paul, what do you have? Well, I got a little paper here. And I got a pen. And Paul picked up the pen, did what he could. Now I'm saying this, if your dreams have been shattered, do everything you can for God. It may just be a couple of mites that you give, but you give them to God. You just do what you can. It may be that you had a dream, a plan to be a happy mother and wife, but it didn't work out that way. Maybe your husband long since has left, and you have to take care of the household, and you had a dream. The dream's been shattered. Maybe you had a dream that you and your husband could rear the family together, but the husband's gone, maybe by death or by divorce or separation, and now you've got to work a little bit, as many of you do, to make ends meet. Just do what you can do, that's all. The Apostle Paul lost his dream, but he didn't become bitter, resentful, didn't give up, didn't become fatalistic. Instead, he picks up his pen. Did you know that what Paul wrote in that prison? Did you know if Paul had never been to that prison, you and I may not have ever heard, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Through the candlelight of the Mamertine prison and the dampness of that dungeon, the Apostle Paul wrote, my God shall supply all your needs according to his glory in Christ Jesus. And he wrote, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. There in that prison, Paul wrote, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. There in that prison, Paul wrote, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In that prison, Paul wrote, I thank my God for every remembrance of you. In that prison, Paul wrote, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In that prison, Paul wrote, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In that prison, Paul wrote, be careful for nothing. In that prison, Paul wrote, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In that prison, Paul wrote, set your affection on things above. And Paul said, okay, I can't go to Spain. And I can't get out of this prison, but I'll do all I can. And let me tell you something. God doesn't expect you to conquer the world. God doesn't expect you to win the known world. God does expect you to do all that you can while you're living on this earth. That's all that God expects you to do. Mahatma Gandhi used to say to his men, I do not expect you to do more than you can, but I expect you to do all that you can. All that you can. That's all that God expects. If you're not a Jack Hyatt, okay, but do what you can do. If you can't pastor a great church, okay, but do what you can do. And if you cannot sing in the choir, okay, but do what you can do. If you can't be a Bible teacher in a college, okay, but do what you can do. God doesn't ask you to do what I do, and God doesn't ask you to do what John Rice did, but God does ask you to do all that you can. If you cannot have those dreams fulfilled and those hopes do not become realities, if those air castles come before your eyes and those hopes and dreams for the future all of a sudden become invalid by the circumstance of life, you just say, okay, I may not can be the preacher I wanted to become. I may not can be the missionary I wanted to become. I may not can be the teacher I wanted to become. I may not can do all I want to do, but there's one thing I can do as well as anybody else can do it. I can do all I can. And that's what Paul said. I can do all I can. You know, I love that passage, Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That's all God asks you to do, but God does ask you to do that. Oh, by the way, I forgot to tell you, he got to Rome. I mean, to Spain. He got to Spain. Paul, that's Spain. Well, in a sense, he got the Spain. What he wrote in the prison got the Spain. If Paul had sat there in that prison and said, God is not good to me, and I just don't feel like I wanted to go to Spain. I wanted to see the seacoast of Spain and see those rolling hills of Spain. I wanted to go to Spain, but God didn't let me go, and I'll just sit here. I don't like what God's done. God's not been good to me. But Paul said, I don't know what about this is, but I know I can do what I can. And Paul picked his pen up, and what he wrote went to Spain. And that's the way you get to your Spain. You get to Spain by doing what you can where you are. By the way, he wanted to go to Spain. He didn't get to go to Spain. But what he wrote went to Spain and England and France and Germany and the United States Eastern Shores and on to Hammond, Indiana. And you heard it and you believed it and you got saved. And so the fact that he did not get to go to Spain, Paul got to go around the world. Every country in this world, every tribe in this world just about has read what Paul wrote in that little Mamertine prison. I remember one day talking to my good friend, Dr. Ford Porter, one of the dearest men I ever met. Dr. Ford Porter and I were praying together down in Indianapolis one time. And after we finished praying, he looked at me through tear-stained eyes and said, Brother Jack, he said, let me tell you a story. He said, when I was a young man, I asked God, let me go around the world preaching. I asked God to let me go into every country and every land in the world. He said, Brother Jack, I didn't become that good a preacher. He said, I know I'm not that great a preacher. But he said, I asked God to let me go. And he said, Brother Jack, I'm not one of the great pulpiteers, and I don't think he was. He said, I'm not one of the great church builders, and I don't think he was. But he said, Brother Jack, one day it dawned on me that I couldn't do it, and I was heartbroken. But he said, one time, I decided to write a tract, and I think he said I had 1,000 of them printed called God's Simple Plan of Salvation. And then across his face came that heavenly look that only Dr. Ford Porter ever had. And he said, Brother Jack, I got to go around the world in that little tract. And how many millions of copies, the most famous tract in the history of the New Testament church, that little tract, God's Simple Plan of Salvation. You see them in Japan. You've seen them over in Japan. I saw them there. And so what Dr. Porter said was my dream was to go around the world and get the message out. But God said, I can't let you do it. But he said, okay then, I don't think I'll ever get around the world. But he said, where I am, I'll do my best. And do his best he did. And he did go around the world. His message. You've heard me tell the story about that little lady who had such a lovely voice. And she had signed a contract to go around the world singing for Jesus. Oh, the hope she had had to go around the world. Just before the ship sailed years ago, word came to her that her father was seriously ill, and she had to cancel the trip. She became very, very bitter about it. She went to her father's bedside, had to sit there in that one little house, and as she thought about the world trip she was going to take and her voice could be heard around the world, she became bitter. And then one day, she went alone and she said, Dear God, I can't go around the world. But she said, Here I am in a little corner of the world. And she said, Dear God, I can't let my light shine around the world. But she said, I can brighten this little corner right where I am. She picked up her pen and she wrote, Brighten the corner where you are. Brighten the corner where you are. Someone far from harbor you may guide across the bar. Brighten the corner where you are. And do you know that little gal in her own corner said, I'll let my light shine. She did not know that many, many years later, in a little house at 1626 Ann Arbor Street in Dallas, Texas, out in the ghetto area, she did not know that little mother, Costell Hiles, would put her 6-year-old boy on her knee and rock in the chair and sing as best she could, Brighten the corner. And my mother always rocked me to sleep when I was a boy singing that very song. And what this little lady could not do by going around the world, she brightened the corner where she was. And she has gone around the world. May I say this? I'd hoped so much in my lifetime to save my country. I'd hoped so much that somehow or another in my lifetime we could hand it to our children a better nation than it is. And I gave my life to God years ago to go as fast as I could go and as hard as I could go. I preached a voice away. Dr. Evans asked me, said, Brother Hiles, pastor, preacher, wouldn't you, since Brother Dave is going to be gone, wouldn't you like to teach church ed maybe once a week? Sure, I'd like to teach it 5 days a week, but I can't do it. And I preach 3 or 4 times a day. My voice just, that's about all it'll take. And by the time I get to bed at night, and I believe God's going to give me a voice to preach the rest of my life and many years to come. But I can't preach 9, 10 times a day like I used to. But I did so want to see our country saved. And we had a pastor school, and I've gone up and down this country to 38,000 preachers I preached last year. And I'll be honest with you, the picture looks a bit bleak now. But you sit with the house, you think our country's going to be spared? I don't know. I wish I could hand it to you kids down here and say you'd have an America like we've had. I don't know that we can. But I know what I can do. I can do the best I can. I can do the best I can. And maybe in God's mercy, maybe, just maybe, somewhere across the country, I'll reach that young preacher that can do it. I'm not sure my dream, I'll ever live to see it. But I can do the best I can. Did you know that George Fred Handel, who wrote The Messiah, did you know he was paralyzed on one side of his face? Did you know that he had dreams that never were fulfilled in his life? And did you know that because he's paralyzed, he couldn't find work, and he got so far in debt he couldn't pay his debts, and they cast him into jail because he's in and out of jail because he was in debt. Did you know that? And his dreams of his lifetime were not fulfilled when he died. But did you know while in and out of the jail cell, did you know he wrote that marvelous Messiah? And did you know it was during that kind of condition that the Hallelujah chorus that we love to sing, love to hear, was written? I'm saying it may be that your dreams are shattered, but you can do the best you can. I guess I shouldn't say this. I've never told anybody this. I guess I shouldn't say it. But when this boy was born, I had a dream. I never told him. I never even asked God to let him do it. I never prayed about it even. Everybody that ever owns a business would like to call it Joe Blow and Son. And I guess that every man that is in business someday would like to hand it down to his son. And I never have told anybody this, and I never have even asked God to let it happen. But I guess I sort of figured that maybe someday, when I wear out, that maybe I'd hand the Bible and the pulpit that I had to Brother Dave. Now, I don't rebel because that isn't going to be true. I believe God is called in the Middle Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas. And I certainly yield to the will of God. And so whatever dream that I had, that maybe someday, I never planned it that way. I never crooked you. I never would have told you at all. But I'm saying, I can tell it now. But that's not what God planned. But God's way is always the best way. Well, you say, what you going to do? I'm going to do what I've been doing. I'm going to do the best I can. Somebody said, Brother Jim Lyons left years ago, said, your right arm is cut off. What you going to do? I said, I'm going to grow another. Somebody said, Brother Fisk left. You got your right arm cut off. What you going to do? I'm going to grow another. Yeah. What you going to do now, Brother Dave's leaving? Well, I want to try to find somebody else to finance. I'm a grizzled old veteran. I've been in this business a long time. I think I know something about the service of God. I think I know something about God's plan. And I know this. If you don't get to go to Spain, write some letters while you're in jail. And do all you can. Do what you can. Look at me now. You heard a baby cry before. Do what you can where you are. Good night. There are people all over this house that have had your dreams shattered. Please take the baby out in a hurry. Please do it now. I want the folks to hear me. So where the baby is, please take the baby out. I want the folks to hear what I got to say. All over this room tonight, we have folks who have dreams shattered. They come to my office by the thousands a year. And I do what I can to put the pieces back together. I guess I've got a dozen people right now with whom I'm counseling. life is shattered. Dreams. Once you had. You wanted to go to Spain? There are ways to go to Spain without ever seeing the coast of Spain. When I was a young man, I wanted to go to Africa as a missionary. Did you know when I surrendered my life? But then I got to know some black people. I said, no me. But I wanted to go to Africa as a missionary. When I was licensed and ordained, I stood up before my church and I said, folks, I feel like I ought to go to Africa as a missionary. I did not know in those days. I did not know what God had for me, but God led other ways. But I rejoiced a few months ago, a few years ago now, when somebody told me that they were in Africa. And they said, your little book, Let's Go Soul Winning, is scattered all over parts of Africa. And I rejoiced. I got to go after all, didn't I? And maybe if I'd gone to Africa, I'd only been in one little village somewhere. But my book can cover the country. And now that little book, Let's Go Soul Winning, has sold almost 1 million copies. Been translated into 13 different languages, including Japanese and many of the dialects, at least 13 different languages. I'm saying that when your dreams are shattered, there's always a way that God knows. And so you just do what you can where you are. Paul said, whensoever I take my journey into Spain. He never saw Spain. He never saw Spain. Have you had your dream shattered? Brother Martin May is back here. Brother May, I remember the night or the day I preached over at the Beckley Temple Baptist Church. A bunch of us were over there at Beckley Temple, and you had incurable cancer. Remember that? Of course you remember it. I remember how we gathered around a little circle and prayed for God, let you live. And that man only had, we thought, a few weeks to live. And a bunch of preachers gathered around a circle and prayed for God to heal him. And there he sits back there, good night, 25 years have passed, I guess, or so, 20, 25 years since then. You know, God sometimes uses reversals to make it best for us. Did you know, I see, who was it? Alexander Graham Bell. Did you know how he invented the long-distance telephone? He was trying to make a hearing aid for his wife. Huh? Trying to make a hearing aid for his wife and couldn't do it and stumbled upon the long-distance telephone. Now, there are a lot of dreams that you've had. And those dreams have been shattered. Maybe a son or a daughter that you hope would serve God, but they're in the world. Or maybe a plan that you had for something that was, and it shattered. Okay. But you said, Brother House, what can I do about it? You can do the best you can where you are. As did Paul. You can sing with my mother right in the corner where you are. I probably shouldn't say this, but I will. When my daddy left home, and mother and I were left alone, she came back to my little room where I slept and knelt beside my bed. And she prayed a prayer. I never knew, never heard what she said. I never knew what that prayer was. I wondered for many years what that prayer was. And one day I said, Mother, do you remember When you came back to that little room, back in the back of our little place, and knelt beside my bed the night that Daddy left, and you prayed. I said, Mother, what did you pray? And my mother said, I prayed, dear God, I'll never be able to be a good wife. But if you'll make this, if you'll call this boy to preach, I'll give my life to make a preacher out of him. Her stain was to be a good wife and to have a happy marriage. She never got to see her stain. But she brightened the corner where she was. And now through her son and the ministries of this church and others, she preaches around the world. You don't get to go to Spain. There are other ways to get there without ever seeing its seacoast. Let us pray. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed.